Even though Representative Shuter is now out of office as a result of his behavior, it went on for a long time before this vote happened. And some recent reporting raises the question, will this change anything at the state capitol? For more on this, we're joined now by the show's Lauren Gilger.
I spoke with Rachel Leingang with the Arizona Capital Times and Yvonne Winget Sanchez of the Arizona Republic on the Capitol lawn yesterday, just after the vote came down to remove Representative Shuter from office. They both have done extensive reporting on this at the Capitol and uncovered a pattern of harassment and a culture of sexism there that shows this problem goes far beyond Don Shuter.
The November 1st, Representative Michelle Ugenti Rita came out publicly and named Representative Shuter as one of the men who had harassed her. And the next day we came out with a story with several other women, including lobbyists, an intern at our own paper, and various people in the Capitol community, two other lawmakers who had similar stories of different inappropriate comments, inappropriate touching, things that women were very uncomfortable with and that they found inappropriate in professional settings.
Right. And as you're reporting these stories, did you find that it was difficult for people to come forward? Did people not want to talk about this?
They absolutely didn't want to talk about it. There's a culture among lobbyists that they don't talk to the press at all, especially for something like this. They don't want to use their names. They don't want to discuss specifics of what happened for fear the lawmaker could recognize the story and know who the person was who told the story. So there were women who, you know, they wouldn't talk on background at all. They wanted to talk strictly off the record to explain, you know, what had happened. But you really difficult to get specifics, near impossible to get names on the record because of that culture down here where, you know, lobbyists need lawmakers to do their jobs. So they don't want to fracture a relationship with someone like Representative Shuter who, you know, was all powerful, controlled the budget, basically.
Right. And Yvonne, I'm sure you found something similar when you reported on the broader culture here and the culture specifically surrounding lobbyists.
Yeah, my colleague Dustin Gardner and I spent several weeks calling dozens and dozens of lawmakers, current staffers, former staffers, as well as lobbyists to try to get a sense of what, you know, beyond sexual harassment, like what has allowed this kind of behavior to go on for so long. I think there's a sense that, you know, everyone kind of knew how Shuter acted, right? Representative Shuter, like, and he was given a pass because he was very powerful, and a lot of people found him funny. Other lawmakers, especially new lawmakers, tended to, I think, model their behavior based off of how Shuter behaved. And that, therefore, for some people, became the standard. So no one really complained publicly. You'd get side notes here and there about, you know, the guy's kind of a creep or so-and-so's a creep. But when it came to actually reporting a story and trying to get people to put their names behind pretty serious allegations of sexism or sexual harassment, it was very difficult. But what we found after granting most of the men and women anonymity was a pretty pervasive culture of sexism and patriarchy that has allowed this type of sexual harassing or harassment behavior to thrive. And as Rachel said, it's probably gone on for so long because lobbyists tend to be on the other side of these remarks and of this behavior, and they are paid by their clients to come down here and have good relationships with lawmakers. They are not paid, as one lobbyist told me, to come down here and fight a crusade and clean up this mess. They are paid to advance bills, and if they go public with their grievances against lawmakers or powerful staffers, those bills will not advance. Those budget requests won't advance. Their ability to kill or advance bills is diminished.
The things that both of you talked about in your stories sounded like something that happened in the 50s, right? I wonder, as women who have worked at the Capitol for a long time, did any of this surprise you?
Unfortunately, no. This has been known. I mean, I started here 3 years ago, and pretty much from the first day it became clear what the attitudes are toward women, especially younger women. They're not generally treated with respect as the first way that someone meets them. They really have a long way to go to prove themselves worthy of respect that other people are generally given outright. And you mentioned the idea of it seeming like the 50s. I mean, all institutions have come to this reckoning of, you know, people who've been in power for a really long time who haven't changed their attitudes because nobody's really held them accountable. And I think that this state house and state houses across the country are really no different. You know, newsrooms are like this. Hollywood is like this. Pretty much every industry you can think of has similar issues. And this national conversation is really what brought it out here. But it wasn't surprising, and it shouldn't have been to anybody who was paying attention.
I agree with Rachel that it's been going on for quite a while. I talked with one lobbyist who said she came here from another state, and this kind of behavior, she didn't encounter this kind of behavior there, so she was kind of shocked that it was as pervasive here as it was. And she blamed the behavior partially on term limits. So, you've got a new crop of lawmakers coming in frequently, large freshman classes, unaware of, how they should behave. And some of them are from rural parts of the country, or they're not used to working in maybe more corporate or more formal settings. And they're watching what's happening from the people who head some of the committees, and they're modeling their behavior off of it. But other women told us, look, we tried to advance our bills and have relationships like the quote unquote right way, right? Like, we would do our research. We would present our arguments based on merits, based on what has happened in other states. And when that didn't work, that's when we had to go the other route. That's when we try the whining and dining and the taking them out for, the endless happy hour, buying them drinks at conferences. So I think they're frustrated that they haven't been taken seriously. And perhaps this will be a new era for them. I don't know. It remains to be seen.
Right. So let's talk about what might happen next. So we just saw the expulsion of Representative Shooter, who all of this centered around. But it seems clear that this is a broader problem here. Do either of you think that his expulsion and the fact that he faced consequences today will change anything?
It's really tough to say. The cynic in me says no. I think there's a lot of people who were looking at his behavior as exceptional, as worthy of an expulsion and a public example, but that once this was done, they could move on and get back to the regular business of legislation and moving through committees. It's unclear to me if there will be more people who feel compelled to come forward. The report, it made it pretty tough for women to provide corroborating evidence. With any situation, there's always several people who are involved who will see things differently, and the investigators needed to have a higher standard of proof. That makes sense. But for some people, they may have read the report and thought, if this is what I have to go through to prove something, I'm not willing to put myself out there, put my name out there, put my reputation out there, and then be told that essentially I'm a liar. That's a tough burden for them to bear.
In our story, we detailed an encounter that one lobbyist had with a certain state lawmaker. He commented on her heels and said that they reminded him of handles that could be used during a certain sexual position. Up until 2 days ago, this lawmaker was still remarking on women's shoes. So it remains unclear to me whether or not things will change. I think certainly Speaker Mesnard is trying to reset the tone and reset clear expectations of conduct. And I think maybe within the confines of this complex, we might see behaviors be toned down a little bit. But I think when you're talking about, out-of-state conferences and the happy hours, whenever you mix in alcohol, it's anything goes.
Yvonne Wingett Sanchez, Rachel Langang, thank you both for your reporting.
Thank you.
Thanks.